Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is your girl, DJ Carmen. And you are now...
You had a truck for a reason, remember? So get some Firestone tires and go do truck stuff. 300 million view stuff. Big boy truck stuff. Secret spot stuff. The Firestone Destination 18. Long link, carbon reinforced to conquer any terrain and any truck stuff. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Get help financing the tires and services you need. Go farther with a Firestone credit card. For more information, give them a call at 866-943-9081. That's 866-943-9081.
All right, you're tuned in to KPTR Behind the Music. And today we have with us again the artist Arbile. And I just go ahead and patent this one. He is one of the hardest working independent artists that I know, that I've come across during the years that I have been doing this, doing radio. And I want to say once again, thank you so much for coming back on the show, Arbile.
Thank you for having me, DJ Carmen.
No problem. And I know before the last interview we had, you were discussing, you know, your life and some of the people that you've worked with in the past, and we weren't able to get everything in. But, of course, now is the time. We definitely want to go back. And I believe you left off with you were talking about you was working around, or was it with Switch?
Actually, I worked with Switch. I started working for them, I think it was like the early part of 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of how I got turned on to them was I had a customer. At the time, I was doing hair. And there was a customer... by the name of Maureen Boyd, who was coming to me, and I was doing her hair at the time. And people probably wonder, well, how did you do hair and then now you do music? Well, I've always done music, but hair was one of my, I would say, gigs that I did at the time to make money.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
exactly.
I happened to do her hair one day, and she happened to ask me, she goes, do you do men's hair? And I said, sure, I do men's hair, women's hair, whoever had a head of hair, I could handle it for them. So she introduced me to Philip Ingram, one of the members of the group, Switch. And he came through, and we talked, and then we made an appointment for me to come over and do his hair, because at the time he was kind of like not really wanting to come to the shop because, you know, people would probably not give him – you know, the time that he needed to get his hair done, because people were probably, you know, asking for autographs or whatnot or whatever. So, you know, taking in that in consideration, I said, well, cool, that's fine. I'll come to you and do your hair. So I started doing his hair, and the rest of the group saw the work that I did. They were like, you know, hey, you know, hook me up. So at that time, it was made where, okay, well, if you're going to do Phillip's hair, then do the rest of the group's hair, and then they took that information to Motown, and they agreed upon that, and then I became the hairdresser for the whole group. And I went on all their Don Kirshner concerts, the television shows. I did all the Soul Train hair and wardrobe pretty much for them. And
right.
I did all their photo shoots. And in doing all the photo shoots, so every album that they did while they were with Motown, you know, I had a lot to do. I was the person that gave them that look that they had at the time. You know, what else? Oh, and I was also able to go on tour with them. I went on the Tiger Flower tour with them. So, I got a chance to, you know, work very close with them. Got a chance to see a lot of stuff, you know, be behind the scenes, And I would say everything that I saw and everything I was in touch with, you know, kind of led me to where I'm at today as being an artist.
Right. And, you know, that's very interesting, and people don't really think about every album cover that you see. You know, there's always, or even, you know, things on TV, there's always someone behind all of that. So, I mean, who would have, you know, thought to pay attention to who was doing who's hair? And then, of course, you was able to get the experience by, you know, going on tour with them. So you pretty much knew about the game and how that works.
Exactly, exactly.
You know,
I thank God for allowing me to do that, because in a lot of cases, a lot of people don't get that chance to see, you know, up front and close how the game really goes. You know, they only see it from the outside, from the TV standpoint of view.
Right. And you now have a couple of albums out yourself, right?
Yes, I do. I actually have, now I have three albums out. My first album, yes, my first album was Love Notes. And then after Love Notes came The Truth, which was released last year. And then this year, actually on the 10th of October, I dropped the third album, which was Let Me Get My Groove On, another EP, but this one was a 6-song EP. And strange enough, you know, when I put that project together, I did have it in mind, you know, but after I put it together, it kind of came together as far as how I wanted to address how the album was going to be. And actually, all 6 songs are basically singles, and I think the audience will really like what I brought to the table this time.
Well, with this third album, what was your inspiration for this one?
Well, the inspiration for the third album came from the second album, and actually the second album was like to lead up to the third album. And I tell a lot of people ask me, well, how do I come up with the ideas when I'm writing the song? And I say this, you know, as a young child, I grew up around a loving family. I grew up around a lot of people that cared about one another, and I remember back, like I say, like in the late 70s, late 80s, people kind of were closer than they are, I would say, today when it comes to relationships. And what I saw was a lot of times when, say, for instance, say a girl and a guy would get into an argument, and say maybe a lot of times guys cannot explain exactly how they feel, right? I remember what my aunties would do. They would go to the record store, and they would go and find a song that said everything that they wanted to say to this person that they couldn't say themselves. And what they would do is go get this 45. Remember the 45s back in the late
70s? Of course I do.
Okay. And they would go and buy these little black round discs and bring it back and give it to the boyfriend and tell him to play it and listen to it. And everything that you hear on this song is everything that I've been trying to say to you. You know what I mean? And
gotcha.
A lot of times the guys would get it, you know, because it's like, you know, they were either love songs, because like back in the day, Motown, for instance, a lot of the artists like the Commodores, the Temptations, Smokey Robinson, Smokey Robinson wrote a lot of love songs.
He did, yeah.
And the love songs were more to the point of joining together or finding a situation where there's a break in communication, whereas they talked about love, you know.
Right.
Nowadays, you know, a lot of artists steer away from talking about love. They talk about the female in a negative way. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not cool. I mean, because if you're trying to, you know, bridge a gap between relationships, you know, you figure the person that you are in this journey down with, you know, you two want to be on the same page, you know. And if you're not
Absolutely.
On the same page, it's going to be so rough. You know, you're going to constantly be arguing. And then if you have kids, the kids are looking at the situation. So the idea that you're forming in their head about a relationship turns to a negative situation where they feel, okay, well, if you call my mama a B, then every woman in my mind is going to be a B because this is what my uncle said, you know what I mean? Or this is what my father said, you know? So a lot of parents fail in the department of being mentors to children because a lot of times they don't know how to show the love or speak in a positive way towards a female or vice versa or a female to a male. You know, so
that's true.
Go ahead.
That is very true. And I can go back to one of the another artist. I don't know if you've heard of Calvin Richardson. But he put it, you know Calvin Richardson, right?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mhm.
Yeah, to me he said it best when he said, "How can you be a man if you've never been taught how to be a man? And how can you love if you've never been taught how to love?" So you're absolutely right. These kids don't know how to love. A lot of the boys don't know how to become a man because, number one, they didn't have a man in their life. Then, number two, they were never taught how to respect and love a female. So, this generation here just seemed lost to me. But I'm going to pass the mic back to you and let you finish.
So
what you were talking about.
So that was one of the concepts that I had when I wrote this third album. You know, I kind of wanted to take off from the second album. The second album, I talked about how a person is treated in a relationship and how that person felt. You know, you know, it's kind of weird. Like the last video that I did from that album was "Do Me Like That," right? And a lot of people ask, "Where'd you come up with that idea with "Do Me Like That"?" And what I told them was this: you know, one day I was with a female friend, and we were having drinks, and we were sitting down looking at TV. And my thing sometimes is what I do is I turn the TV on, and I'll turn the sound down, and I'll turn the radio on and play the radio, right? So we're sitting here, you know, drinking, and she decides to go use the restroom. So she gets to use the restroom. Now, mind you, her and I have had the same exact type phone, right? And there was a coffee table, and I had my phone on the coffee table, and she had her phone on the coffee table. And you know how you just sometimes you're just not really conscious of certain things. You just, you know, you do things kind of like on impulse, sort of say. And what happened to the phone rang? And when the phone rang, I just reached for it because it looked like my phone, and I wasn't, you know, in my right mind at the time. And so I reached for the phone. I picked the phone up, and I hit the screen. The screen came on, and I saw this message, and the message says, "Sammy." And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. Sammy, I don't know nobody named Sammy. So I go ahead, click. I hit the button for it to show me the message, right? And then I see this picture. My friend and another guy kissing, right? And so the drink that I had kind of went out the window because my senses came to me, and I go, you know what I mean? So I put the phone back down, and she came out of the restroom. She sat down, and you know, the music was still going, TV still going, and she had her drink still, and I had mine, and I had finished my drink by the time she came out of the restroom. So I said, oh, you got a phone call. And she looked at me kind of funny. What do you mean I got a phone call? I said, here, I picked up the phone, and I showed it to her. I said, who is Sammy? She looked at me, and the look on her face when I showed her the picture, it was like, you're busted. I'm totally in the wrong. How am I going to explain this? And I'm the kind of person like this. You know, I don't like to fight. I don't like to argue. And, you know, when you have alcohol in your system, sometimes that can take you to another level and take you over the edge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in this day and time, I didn't need the popos coming to the door for nothing. I just didn't want that scene to jump off, right? So I told her, I said, well, look, you know, when you finish the drink, you know where the door is. And I'll talk to you later. And she got up and got a purse and finished her drink. And she let herself out the door. And at that point, you know, that was, I mean, you know, you figured, okay, you're thinking, now I'm dealing with this person. I'm trying to be as real with this person as possible. And then,
right.
You know, when you see a situation like that where there's no trust, that's basically what it is. It's no trust no more. I can't trust this person anymore. You know, and then on the other hand, you know, I might have been wrong for looking at her phone and looking at her message, but two wrongs don't make a right. You know what I'm saying? Two wrongs don't make a right.
But you needed, but it happened at the right time because you needed to see that.
Exactly.
You know, that was your protection. So I'm glad you did look at it. And then, you know, that saved you from being in the dark.
Exactly.
You know, and see, and then when you made that song, it all made sense because a lot of people do go through that. But like you said, they're not voicing this in music like they used to. But you taking us back to the way they used to do it. Like, you know, why did you do me like this? And that's us older heads. We love it like that. We love when you allow us to come into your life.
Right.
We love that.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we are approaching, this is halftime.
Okay.
And we have a track that is going to be coming up. And the name of the track is Key to My Heart, and this is off of Arbile's newest album. So everybody, please enjoy the track, and we'll be right back with more Arbile.
This is another InfoSol production.
The one for me. Come here, baby. Let's
Okay, that was Key to My Heart by Arvile. I love that joint. I really like that one. And so we're just going to go back and let you start where we left off before the first station break. And we were talking about love and how music has changed over the years.
Yes. I think where most artists, I think, this is my interpretation. Well, let me back up. I think what it is a lot of the fans. Let's put it that way. The fans are the ones that keep the artists alive, and in a lot of the songs that most of us put out, relationships they touch on, love. But I think where R&B kind of lost its punch is when rap came in and started doing the you know making the move that they were making, and it's catching the eyes of the younger kids. Like we were saying earlier, before they didn't get the guidance, and and not saying rap is sending the wrong message, but what it is, a lot of the message that is sent out is getting to the wrong individuals. I think that's what it was. And then R&B sort of kind of fell off because it's like when you, for instance, if you go to a store and you buy a product, you know, and you used to buy this particular product, but when you see everybody buying this one product over here, you sort of lose track on what you came into the store for. You know, it's almost like you know, when you're sitting at home, you can think of a million things to buy, right? But the moment you get that money in your hand and you get into the store, what's on that list? You don't focus on what's on that list. You buy whatever you see, and then by the time you realize, oh wow, I didn't touch on this list. You didn't spend all your money now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I think it's kind of like that with R&B and. And I feel a lot of artists need to touch more on family oriented type things where it brings the family together, because I think we're living in a time now where everything is focused on one person. Me, I. You know what I mean? We're living in that time where, you know, you sit down and you talk to a person. And, you know, it's like, oh, I'm running into this problem, or I don't like this. You know, everybody's got an eye problem. You know what I mean? It's not about,
right.
You know what I mean? It's always I, you know, it's about them, you know, and that's really sad. So me as an artist, where I'm able to look at a situation where everybody can benefit, you know, because, in songs, I think we are, I truly believe that God blessed us to sort of kind of like put a message out there to kind of bring that family unit back together. You know what I mean? You know, people say, well, what can I do to contribute to help save the world? You know, or what can I do to contribute to help a situation from a negative to a positive? It takes someone that has an eye to see where the problem is, and then start from where that problem is and work forward. You know what I mean?
Right.
With a positive message. And I think what a lot of artists, you know, I say this now, and this goes out to a lot of artists. You know, if you are promoting music, you're making music, try to find a way to put a positive message in it so that we can turn what's going on now around from a negative to a positive. And I think, you know, in doing that, we have an obligation as a humanitarian to try to make a difference. You know, see, a lot of people, you know, they say, well, how can I make a difference? Well, making a difference is stop the negative, stop the violence, stop the, you know, all this negativity,
and turn it into a positive. And I think if you sit down and you listen to a song and you go, "Wow, oh, I like that," and if it touches on your heart, then that's a good thing, you know. But you know, always hearing from someone out of their name, you know, that's a long message, very long message. And our little ones, the young ones coming up, if this is all they hear, then that's all they know, and that's what they will produce themselves.
Right. And in today's music, you know, there's no love. I'm not going to say in all of the music, but it's very far and, you know, few in between. But for the most part, what they're doing today, it's all about a sound, the sound of the beat. The beat drops hard. Nobody's really paying attention to words anymore.
Right.
It's all about the rhythm. And half of these, to be honest with you, half of these rappers wouldn't even make it if they didn't have the right music behind them.
True. And you made a very good point, because, you know, I was listening to Snoop one day. He has a talk show, and he was talking about a lot of these rappers are basically going against where the original rappers or the OG rappers. It was a thing where they talked about good times, they talked about bad times, they talked about it was just things that we normally see each day out in the street or at work or in various situations, but it was a positive thing, right? Now you have rappers rapping, and you don't know what they're saying, and
you don't know
what they're saying, and then, you know, everybody is trying to sound like each other, you know, and
the same.
We
got about 15 seconds left.
Okay.
It's always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
To talk to you, but we do want to make sure that you get your information out there really quick so everybody knows how to reach music.
Okay. Right now, for the album, Let Me Get My Groove On, that can be you can find it at Bobby O'Mac. You can also find me on SoundCloud, CD Baby, and I think those are the only avenues right now where that particular song can be
awesome. And also check him out at www.arbileisastar.com.
That's
you will
right.
not be disappointed. Arbile, we really do appreciate you coming back on the show, and as always, I'm going to send you much love.
Thank you.
You're
welcome, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, until next time, we are out.
Peace.